What's going on, Commanders fans? Welcome back to another episode of Command Fan. I'm your host, Tate Edwards, and today is a special day. I have Craig Hoffman, host of The Hoffman Show, the Team 980, and the free Odyssey app, also on YouTube and everywhere you find your podcast, where you listen to your podcast. He's also the co-host of the Take Command podcast, so definitely go listen to those. He does some great shows. And then also on Twitter, he's Craig Hoffman, so go follow them there. Craig, thanks so much for joining me.
Tate, appreciate you having me, man. And my bosses will be very happy that you coined it the free Odyssey app. That is how we like it. They will be very pleased with that introduction.
Yeah, I'm a listener, so I hear you preach that for sure. And everywhere else, really. Every other radio show I listen to. But obviously, it's definitely been a past busy few weeks, probably a month or two for you. So thank you so much for taking the time. But free agency, crazy time for the Commanders, as I didn't think they'd sign 12 names like that. I don't think they had a huge free agency as far as names. Like, they had one, I would say, noticeably big name in Bobby Wagner. But I want to get to the breaking news that we had less than 24 hours ago regarding our starting quarterback last year in Sam Howell. So, like, what's your reaction to the Sam Howell trade? Like, do you like it? I mean, do you like that we even traded him? What's your thought on that?
Yeah, it was so funny you mentioned Wagner there too, because our show ended with the Wagner news on Thursday, and then before we could even get back on the air, or I guess on Wednesday, and then before we could even get back on the air on Thursday, the Howell news happened. So it just felt like a sprint all week for us. And yeah. I do like the Sam trade. I think that it depends on which trade chart you look at. There's some that are like, you know, that was basically the equivalent of getting a later third round pick than obviously the 78th that they get in the pick exchange. There's some that are like, no, you basically traded him for a seventh. But I think generally speaking, like, everybody gets what they want here. The Commanders get in a draft that by a lot of analysts measure is about, I need to 100 players deep, another pick in the top 90. That is super duper valuable. They turn pick 102, which might have been a little thinner than they want, into pick 78. That's a big deal. And they do it while getting rid of a player that didn't have a lot of value to them. That doesn't mean he has a lot of, or doesn't have a lot of value. Seattle gets a very valuable piece, a really, I would say, solid backup quarterback, and someone who, if he has a good training camp, could push Geno Smith, depending on how Geno performs. And for Sam, he gets a fresh start. So I kind of think it's a win for all parties. It depends on what you think of the trade charts and which trade chart is your favorite on just how good or bad the trade is. But the concept of it, the idea that you add a higher pick in this draft and you kind of unload the gigantic looming question, because I think that's another part of this, Tate, is like, we spent time on our shows on Take Command even earlier in the day when we recorded. Logan and I talked about, what do you do with Mariota and Howell? Do you let them compete if Drake May or Jaden Daniels, whoever, isn't ready? You just don't have to worry about that now. And that refresh of starting over and the freedom of mind to not have to deal with that is worth something to me as well, even if I like Sam as a football player.
Yeah, for sure. I think I like the fit for Sam personally. Like, in Seattle, I think if Geno Smith doesn't pan out, say he gets hurt, they don't have Drew Lock anymore. He got signed to the Giants, but I think he steps in there. He's got DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and JSN, another stud young receiver that they have. So for Sam, I'd be pretty happy. I mean, it didn't happen the way he wanted to in Washington. I feel like he had a kind of unfair start with the circumstances with that Ron Rivera and his staff were under, but definitely he didn't. He helped himself. Like, he was a very clutch player, I would say. He was more clutch than I definitely thought he would be. But too many sacks, too many interceptions led him to ultimately have the new ownership and management under Adam Peters think we're gonna go in a different direction. If you can get a third round pick for him, people like are saying that, like, it's seventh round pick, sixth round pick when it's all said and done. But you upgraded from what was 102 to 76 in the third, so now you have six picks in the top 100. So really, you have a lot of ammo to move up if you want to number one. If Caleb Williams, if Cliff Kingsbury really wants that dude to lead his offense, like, I think you have more ammo to do it now. Obviously, I think I would have liked to see Sam on the roster just in case. We've seen crazier things happen with Alex Smith, especially on FedEx's field, and we might need to see Sam Howell in this season. I'm hoping we don't. I'm hoping we see the rookie quarterback that we're going to draft for the whole year. But that was just kind of my take on it. So, and then But moving on, just
I think real quick to mm-hmm. like follow up on that for Sam. One thing that I think is really important for Commanders fans to kind of process is we have to separate Sam and what Adam Peters is doing, which I know feels a little weird, but it's not Adam Peters' responsibility to find out what is the best like version of Sam Howell. That's not the investment that he's made. His job is to figure out what's the best thing for the Washington Commanders, mm-hmm. and that was to do this move. And Sam, I wish him nothing but the best. Again, I think he's a good football player. Like, I think he's got a future in this league as potentially a starter. I'm like a decent mid-level starter. But there was enough of the things that you were concerned about on the UNC tape coming out that showed up last year that makes it, I think, the right move to say we're going to invest in two. And whether that's, you know, like you said, maybe trading up for Caleb with the extra ammo or just taking Mayer Daniels at two and then using some of that extra ammo to trade up and get your starting left tackle for the next decade. They have a ton of maneuverability in this draft now. So I think that, again, it's not about what's best for Sam Howell as a Washington Commander. It's about what's best for the Commanders. And that's the task that Adam Peters knows he has to take on.
Right, and especially when you get a third-round pick, I think you have to pull the trigger. When Mac Jones got traded for a six, correct me if I'm wrong, he got traded for a six to Jacksonville, and you're getting a third out of Sam Howell, who mm-hmm. was drafted in the fifth round. I just think that's, if I was a GM, I would definitely have pulled the trigger for sure. I'm just saying, Sam, like you said, I definitely think he has a spot in this league, and hopefully it's with Seattle and whenever Geno Smith's time's done. But
yeah, so, no, I agree.
Yeah, so. With free agency, I mean, I'm not going to say done because who knows what Adam Peters is going to pull out of his pocket again. But with the what letter grade would you give the Commanders free agency and why?
I would give it an A. I think that they've signed the guys that they needed to sign this year. And what I mean by that is there's no universe outside of them drafting this year's version of CJ Stroud where they're going to be really good in 2024. And that is a weird expectation to go ahead and put on. It feels like it being a Debbie Downer here in March. But the reality is, like, they are so talent depleted that, and especially at the quarterback position, they don't really have a great option, that being really good in 2024 was going to be near impossible. So what you're really doing is building a foundation for the future. And guys like Bobby Wagner, guys like Frankie Louvu, guys in the mold that they got, aggressive, physical football players who are pros, will play with the speed and physicality that Joe Witt wants on defense. Offensively, guys that can be trusted to be veterans and set great examples. Austin Ekeler, Zach Ertz, Allegretti is the same way. He might not be the best guard in the league. He's certainly not the best guard in the league, but that's a physical professional son of a gun who you can rely on to bring the lunch pail to work every day. And I think they'll be competitive this year. They might lose and be on the wrong end of some games where they need their quarterback to make a play or two. And that guy's just not up for it, whether it's Mariota or the number two pick. I tend to think that the number two pick, especially if it's Drake May, like, I don't think Drake May is ready to play in 2024. I think optimally he sits. And it's not really about Marcus Mariota. He's just going to be the guy that happens to be there. So it's really about establishing the play style and kind of the standards for the Dan Quinn era. And I think they've brought in a bunch of dudes who can do that and then retain some guys that also fitted that. I mean, Jamison Crowder's a dog. Like, I've known Jamison since he was drafted when I was back on the beat for 106.7 The Fan. Like, that dude gets after it. He's a pro. F.A. Obata, like, that dude had to scrap and claw and fight his way into the NFL off the streets of London through the International Pathway Program to get to the NFL. Obviously, Jeremy Reeves is a dog on special teams and is a backup safety. So they have made very strategic decisions about who they keep, who they ship out, how they remake this roster. And while I just don't think, like, A+, because you don't bring in any blue chip guys. I mean, Wagner's obviously still very good. I think Louvu can be very good. I think Chin can be really good. But it's not like they got their superstars, but I don't know that they could. So A- maybe is the ultimate letter grade I would give, but I don't know how much better you realistically could have done this time around.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the B+ to A- range is where I'd put them as well. You alluded to Jeremy Chin. Like, that's the signing that I think is the most underrated signing of the whole free agency class, especially when you see what he did as a rookie. how he just came onto the spotlight so quick in Carolina, and then obviously the past 3 years haven't gone his way, but obviously Carolina hasn't been the best team either. Their defense has been pretty good though. Like last year, they had one of the best defenses in the league. But Jeremy Chinn is definitely a signing I love. Obviously, I'm gonna love Bobby Wagner. He's definitely gonna come in here. So it reminds me of the London Fletcher move that a couple years back. And he's definitely still got a lot in the tank. I would say Bobby Wagner is a All-Pro. He's led the league in tackles last year, and I think that's a great signing as well. And I think it's going to shore up the linebacker core to be able to maybe put Jamin Davis into better situations. I'm not even going to allude to Micah Parsons, but Micah Parsons-esque, because we know that he's a freak athlete. That's why they drafted him out of Kentucky. But I like that Bobby Wagner a lot. It surprised me too. Austin Ekeler, I think, is going to replace Antonio Gibson, if not an upgrade for Antonio Gibson. A lot of people reached out to me are like, so does this mean they don't like Brian Robinson? No. Brian Robinson's a dog, like you just alluded to. So he's definitely going to be that workhorse back, but Austin Ekeler's so, what's the word, like versatile. He can catch 107 passes if you need him to. He can rush for 1,000 yards if you need him to. Like that, and the contract that you got Austin Ekeler at was a steal, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with all these contracts. I think that they did a really great job of making sure that they didn't tie up any money long term outside of a couple of guys who could actually be here long term. Like, you want to pay Frankie Louvu a couple of years from now, like, great. He seems like he's a maniac of a football player that is a perfect Dan Quinn guy. But for the rest of them, like, they're still going to have $100 million in cap space next year. And they got a bunch of dudes. Like, I think JP tweeted out their cap sheet the other day, and you look at the guaranteed salary column for 2025, and it's like 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. So guys like McLaurin and guys like Allen, you can easily restructure their contracts without a whole lot of cap pain. Or if you want to, you know, depending on how things go this year, you want to move on from anybody with the big cap hit, it's pretty easy to do next season, where you're just paying like the balance on the cap of their signing bonus from a couple of years ago. And some of those numbers are a little painful, but if you split them over 2 years post June 1st cut and get, you know, fancy with the salary cap, who cares? So I think what they've done is both laid a foundation with the kind of players that they've brought in, and also given themselves a chance to be competitive this year if some things go right at the quarterback position, and maintain long-term flexibility. Sounds like an A-minus, at least to me.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree with what you said with the offseason. I think it surprised me, but also impressed me, so for sure. And so with the second overall pick, that's going to be where the Commanders make their money this offseason. If it hits, we have a quarterback for the next 10, 20 years. If it doesn't hit, same old Washington, it feels like. So the second overall pick, like assuming the Commanders don't trade up and draft Caleb, who are you taking at number 2?
Oh, right now I think I'm taking Drake May, but I don't feel great about it. Part of that is I just finished watching Kurt Benkert's breakdown of the NC State game, which is a game that I've watched myself, and just there's so much sloppiness in that game from Drake, and like the footwork stuff scares the daylights out of me. But I've started watching, Kurt Warner has a breakdown of the Duke game. You start watching that game and he's a lot more on schedule and the footwork looks a lot better. But I just think the size, the arm strength, the mobility, like it's hard to pass up. And there's just too many people whose opinion I respect that like May that pull me in that direction. Daniels is super talented. He doesn't throw the ball over the middle of the field particularly well. His sack to pressure ratio is high. Drake's, by the way, is also high, which scares me as well. But like, Jaden Daniels had a pretty good offensive line and Drake did not. So Drake took a lot of like instant pressure, where Jaden, I think, at times invited pressure. And I also think that the weight thing, and you know, we've referenced this and had Nate Tice on our podcast to talk about this. 205 seems to be the magic number, where unless you're Kirk Cousins or like one season of Jeff Garcia and one season of Aaron Brooks back in the early 2000s, like you don't really have success in the NFL at less than 205 pounds, and Jaden Daniels is below that. So Drake May, you know, as a bigger guy that can withstand a little bit of pressure and contact and see over the middle of the field and all these things, seems like the right selection. But I'm trying to fall in love with one of them, and I just can't. Now, what does that ultimately mean? I don't know. And what I think doesn't really matter. It's what Adam Peters ultimately likes. And I think I appreciate that Dan Quinn, when he was doing some interviews during the combine, was like, that's the most important opinion in the room. It's not mine. It's not Cliff's. It's not anybody else's. Like, we'll take everybody's input, but it's whatever Adam thinks is best. But I think the guy with the highest upside is Drake. I think I would pull him in here, see how quickly he learns. Can he get his footwork straightened out? If he can't, I just start Marcus and, you know, see how long it takes for Drake. I think that's the direction I would go right now. But, man, that makes me feel queasy.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Right now I'm leaning Jaden Daniels. I love his ability to get out of the pocket, but I also know that he's missed like some wide open guys that I've seen. People like post on Twitter or wherever, and that he's missed some wide open guys, and the sacks he takes and the huge hits he also takes. And you can't do that in the NFL. If you take those huge hits in the NFL, you're going to get hit by a guy like, not Bobby Wagner anymore, but like Bobby Wagner would light you up from the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Or guys like Patrick Queen, who just went to the Steelers, or those kind of... I would say Aaron Donald, but sadly he retired today, which was surprising. But
yes.
I don't know. Really, at the end of the day, I'm just going to trust Adam Peters from a fan perspective. Obviously, he's going to know more than I do. He has the final say in the quarterback they take, and whether that be Drake May, Jaden Daniels, trading up for Caleb Williams, or maybe you're not sold on all three of them. Maybe you don't like Caleb's character. Maybe you don't like how Drake's very just a raw prospect, it feels like. Jaden Daniels takes a lot of sacks. His weight is an issue. Like, whether you want to trade down, maybe try for a guy like Penix, Nix, I'm going to be okay with it, because it feels like for the first time in a while we've had a structure here that is way different than the ones we've had in the past because of the ownership. So... really, for me, yeah. I would take Jaden Daniels.
No doubt. There's adults in the room.
Yeah, for sure. And I would take Jaden Daniels, but I either way they go, I'll be fine with. I'm just going to trust it. I'm just going to trust the process.
Yeah. I think the thing with Jaden that's interesting is he is a big play explosive runner, which replaces some of the stuff that he doesn't necessarily do well. For instance, when he gets out of the pocket, he is often looking to run, not looking to throw. But when you run as well as he does, there's an element of me that goes, who cares? You know, so there's things like that that I think are very relevant. He does throw a great deep ball. He throws well outside the numbers, and that stuff has been really important traditionally for Cliff Kingsbury and his offenses. So there's a lot of stuff to like about Jaden that I think is interesting. But there's also, I think it's, you know, depending on what you want to do, like, it is tempting to just trade back and be like, we're going to punt this decision. But the quarterback class next year isn't very good. Mm-hmm. So how are you ultimately getting your guy? Then again, you know, we thought this quarterback class might look great, and some people think it is. And then next year's class, all of a sudden, does it look great by the time we're a year from now? So it's just, it's hard. That's why these guys get paid a ton of money to do this. And I tend to agree that I just trust Peter's judgment. The last thing I'll add real quick, though, is I will definitely be paying attention to the pro days, because that shows me your capacity to learn. If Drake May comes out and crushes his pro day and he's on time and he's on target and his footwork looks a lot better, I will feel a lot better about taking him. If he gets out there and it's real sloppy and it's not a good workout, that's probably, which I know feels like a lot to put on a pro day, but it tells me about your capacity to learn and get better and like how you've spent your time here and your ability to prioritize things. And if that comes out not being a great workout, I probably am pushing back towards Daniels if he has a good one, or thinking about like, okay, where do I need to land if I want JJ McCarthy? And can I also walk out of this with Joe Alt or whoever else, mm-hmm. with multiple top 15 picks?
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned Joe Alt. My next question is, with the other 5 picks in the top 100, obviously they're going to need a left tackle. Future left tackle. They're also going to need more help on the offensive line. So with the other 5 picks, maybe the 2 second round picks we have, who are like positions or names that you could see them looking at taking and just expecting a lot to be the Commanders to be around that player's name?
Yeah, it's tough because I think they could wind up trading up anywhere, like with their current stock, without even a trade down. You can get potentially as high as 12, 13, somewhere in there, if you were to package 36 and 40 together. I got to look at some different shade charts. I've been looking at just one, and I need to understand better the full scope of that. But you might be able to get as high as like JC Latham or Amarius Mims, or if Alt or Fashanu Falls or Talisi Fuaga. So definitely one of those tackles. I think if they stay put in the second round, you're looking more in like the Patrick Paul range, who's obviously very interesting for Washington because his brother's on the team. You know, a guy that like Logan has had circled for since the Senior Bowl is Darius Robinson, the edge out of Mizzou. And I do think they need one more. Like, I would want one more edge in the room who's a rookie, unless like Jadeveon Clowney's like, I will sign a veteran minimum. Like, okay, you and your whatever sacks you had last year in Baltimore, come on down. But I think that, you know, Darius Robinson is an interesting guy. You know, if you get into that second round tackle position, also Kingsley Suomataya, you know, out from your neck of the woods at BYU is an interesting kind of area, is an interesting guy. So those are some of them that I think are definitely interesting. Then you also just, I will say receiver in general, they clearly need to add to that room. And there is a receiver of every flavor in this draft. So I would anticipate them maybe making a move somewhere here in free agency still, but you can definitely add one or two of those guys. I think like a speed type of running back, like go find a guy who runs a 4.3 and get that guy in the room. I'm interested in that as a potential add. As you mentioned, right tackle, I think could be an interesting one to watch. And then defensively, I think adding obviously in the defensive backfield, another safety maybe for depth, but the big position to me right now that's outside of left tackle, that's a gap on this roster is corner. And so whether they address that in free agency, with which if you inherit my luck, cause I am your guest before this podcast gets on the internet, from the time we record, they will have signed a corner because that's how my week has gone. There's definitely a possibility that they pick one or two in the draft. So those are some of the positions and some specific guys earlier on that I think are worth watching.
Yeah, I think Patrick Paul, with Chris Paul being his brother on the team, he stood out to me at the Senior Bowl. He's a huge tackle. I definitely could see him being a guy that they look at and target in the second round, assuming they don't trade up. And it's such a tackle deep class that I wouldn't be surprised if someone like Fashanu, not Joel, I would assume he doesn't fall. Fashanu, maybe Fontanu from Washington falls a little bit. More people look at him as a guard potentially, but he can play tackle too as well. He played in college. So I think it's a good draft to have a tackle issue. Obviously, you don't want to ever have an issue at a position, but sure. But this is the draft to hopefully figure that out for the next 10 years. And so I think Patrick Paul is another guy that they could look at. The guy from BYU, I'm not even going to try and say his last name because I just butcher it. So
we're going with Kingsley Suomataya. That's the pronunciation we have landed on.
Sweet. And then last question here before I let you go, but this is kind of a have fun question because there's so much excitement and hype around the team, especially as a fan, as my perspective, and I'm sure as yours, I'm sure you don't dislike the team. But if you had to guess, like say you're for a sports book, what's the range of wins the Commanders? I know the draft hasn't came yet, and that's going to be a huge stepping stone to see how what happens. But range of wins, like how many do we get? Maybe worst to first in the discussion in the division. Like, what's your thoughts on that?
I think worst to first is a huge ask. And again, like we do need to remember that quarterback is the most important position in the sport, and the chance that they are good at quarterback in 2024 is not very high. That said, I think this defense could be really fun if it comes together quickly. And Wagner, and Luvu is the guy who's been the last couple of years, and Chin stays healthy, and they figure out this other corner spot, and like Forbes takes a leap. That defense could actually be really good and could keep that in a lot of games. But offensively, I think you're could be pretty limited in year one. That said, if you can get a guy who can just distribute the ball and like Terry and Jahan stay healthy and they get one more like wide receiver, maybe a rookie who turns out to be a star, like they can be a decent offense. I think like over under, if I'm a sports book, like I'm probably setting the number somewhere 6.5, 7.5, which I realize isn't that exciting. But realistically, I have a hard time seeing like way more than that unless quarterback play is great. So I would say like somewhere between 6 and 10 wins is probably most likely, depending on health and quarterback play in 2024. But I think the more important thing is like, what do they look like in those? Are they Are they the early season 2023 Washington Wizards where you're like, all right, I know you guys were supposed to be bad, but can we not lose by 30 every single night we go out there and the coach gets fired midway through the season because the team isn't competitive? You're not going to see that. You're going to see a competitive football team, and they might not win a ton, but like Arizona last year is a great example. They won less than I think Washington will this year, but like they just didn't have the talent.
Yeah.
And Washington has more talent than they do with guys like Wagner and Luvu and Chin coming in. But they sucked to play. Like anybody will tell you that played the Arizona Cardinals last year, they were a pain in the butt to play. You beat them, but it wasn't very fun. And that's the team that I want Washington to be this year, is I want them to be competitive week in, week out, get better as the year goes. And then we'll see what happens at the quarterback position, whether Mariota has to carry it and, you know, the team is limited by his abilities, or the rookie comes in and is learning on the job, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I would put it at 6.5, 7.5 if I was asked that question too. It's just a fun question because there's so much hype around it. But like you said, like you just want to see improvement for the quarterback, really. And that defense, I think, could be a very good defense, especially led by Bobby Wagner. And Frankie Louvu, I think, is another great signing that I didn't mention, but there's been so many signings that it's hard to mention them all and go into detail on how many of them you like, or I don't dislike any of them, if I'm going to be completely honest. So, yeah, I think
I agree.
The Commanders have set themselves up for success. Potentially now, I'm not going to bank on a quarterback playing like C.J. Stroud just did, but in the future, I think the future is bright. Obviously, Bobby Wagner is not in future plans, but just to get the culture set the way Dan Quinn wants it, Adam Peters wants it, to get that going, and it's going to be fun to see. I can't wait for the season. I wish it was September already or August or whatever, but it's definitely going to be fun. But thank you so much for joining me on the pod. It's really awesome to have you on, and I just appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, Tate. My pleasure, and we'll definitely do it again down the line.
Yeah, thank you, everyone, for listening. Go follow me on Twitter, @CommandFan, and also on Instagram if you want to follow me there, too. But, thanks, Craig, again, and hail to the Commanders.